wanted Paul to come up here. No. So pray for me, because Paul is, and also pray for Paul. It's a 50-page paper, and it's a great endeavor to mentor me like this.
Well, I told her all she has to do is bring me warm chocolate chip cookies, because I can be bought, right?
Exactly.
But it is a delight to have Teresa come and speak to us this morning. Teresa, God bless you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. I pray that all of you had a wonderful Easter celebration. And it's remarkable to be able to spend the Easter day and think about the most powerful thing that God did. He raised his son from the dead for us. And you know what the second most powerful thing is he did? He raised us from the dead so we could be alive in Christ. What a privilege. As believers of Jesus Christ, we claim citizenship in heaven. As the sermon title says, our passport is stamped for heaven if we believe in Jesus. But this citizenship is not only a privilege, but it comes with incredible responsibility. Back in 1992, in Los Angeles, there was a LA County parking patrol gentleman who was out on his patrol, and he noticed that a car was illegally parked. And it was street sweeping day. Try to say that 10 times fast. And he decided that he better get this car out of the way. So he went over to the car, and he was writing out the ticket. And he reached through the window and put it on the dashboard. And there was his $30 citation. He didn't happen to notice the guy sitting in the car. And he got no argument from this driver. He got no discussion. Because 10 to 12 hours ago, the guy had been shot. And he was dead. This parking patrol officer was so involved in writing out his ticket that he didn't notice. He was doing his job, but he still didn't notice. He got in his car and he drove away. And as we live in this world, we're surrounded by people that are dead in their transgressions and sins. But what needs to catch our attention is their need, not their offense. We don't need a citation. We need a Savior. And I'll say it again. Yes, we need a Savior. That's why we have Easter. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to get ready for it, I'll be preaching from chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, page 1818. Teaches us the awesome privilege it is to be believers of Jesus. It's a fundamental truth, but he also teaches us practical but necessary tips to go on our earthly journey as we claim citizenship of heaven. The first tip tells us in order to get on the highway leading to eternity, we need to realize we are lost. I'm going to be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We were pretty messed up. But the wonderful, incredible, amazing part of this is God loves us. But on the other side, he wants us to love him. So even though we live in a fallen world, even though this earth is filled with transgressions, if we say yes to Jesus, we have citizenship in heaven. Our passport will be stamped. I thought it was interesting, and so I looked back at the Greek. The beginning of this passage, it talks about transgressions and sin. That second word, sin, in Greek, talks about a sphere or environment. So basically what Paul is saying here is that this world is an environment of sin. And our acknowledgement as Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior does not make us perfect. We will still stumble, we'll still have hardships. But the beauty of it is that God sees us through the blood that his Son sacrificed for us. So admit that you're lost, but don't use that as an excuse. Our second tip that we learned from Paul: the next part of the journey requires us accepting God's love. And I'm going to be reading from verses 4 through 7. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. There's that word alive again. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. As I was praying about this sermon this week, I realized the toughness it is to put God's love into words. It's an absolute honor as a pastor to teach what that love is, but it's also a very humbling experience. God loves us. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. God loves us. But he also wants us to love him. And he also wants us to share that love. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the responsibility to go out and share love. God represents the supreme being of love. Some of the attributes are mercy, grace, kindness. And those attributes are very difficult to put into practice at times. I want you to think back at a time when you were really angry, either with a person or a situation. What was your first reaction? Did you exemplify God's love? Were you Jesus with skin on? I want to take it a step further and think about something maybe that didn't anger you, but annoyed you. How was your reaction then? Was it with negativity? Or was it with grace? Grace is a sermon all in itself. But what grace is spiritual blessings that come from our Father when we allow them to happen. We still have to be obedient and allow them to happen. Grace is something I've always wanted to learn more about, and then my kids became teenagers. And I have awesome kids, they know that. But as teenagers, I really learned a lesson about what grace is all about. I learned that I can't walk in front or behind criticizing my teens. I need to walk beside them, supporting them. I learned instead of holding my finger out in judgment, I need to hold my hand out in support. I learned that keeping a voice that had kindness filled with it, even in the midst of a conflict, went a lot further than raising my voice in anger. I am the first one to admit that it is a tough responsibility to show God's love, but is one that I believe that we are charged to do. I want to take a moment and talk a little bit more about grace. It's mentioned 3 times in this passage. And I think that's to show us how important it is. Grace is something that God performs his awesome works through. It's something that he has power. He gives us so many spiritual blessings. We can only be the vessel that he works through. We have to allow him to do it. I have an illustration from nature because I thought it would be a good way to show that we just have to be obedient. God will do the rest. If you look at the eucalyptus tree, it's kind of an amazing thing. I didn't know this, but it grows in areas that are really polluted, and it takes care of the gaseous air. It cleans it. These types of trees also grow in very barren areas. They grow to over heights of 500 feet. They're very big in Australia. They grow in marshy areas, so they can absorb a lot of water. It only takes a couple of years to plant these trees and for a huge forest to emerge. And the really amazing part with this is that one envelope holds enough seeds for a whole acre. So if you think about our blessedness of our gospel as these eucalyptus trees, the tree of life can be planted in the immoral marshes, and God's rich love can be glorified. Another tip that Paul teaches us is that we need to travel with faith. Verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. A big Awana verse, we're a big Awana church. It's one of the first verses I memorized when I became a Christian. It's also kind of a complicated one. We need to remember that we have a gift from God, and that gift is citizenship in heaven. But that gift requires obedience. That gift also requires faith. And when I describe faith, I think of taking a journey and going around a corner. We might not know what's around that corner. There might be struggles, there might be hardships, or you could be cruising along and life is going wonderfully. But we still need to listen to what God is telling us. And our good works that we do is not the key to make God happy. The key is to have faith and to give God the credit for the good works we do, because only through him and the sacrifice that he was willing to make for us can we get into heaven. And that motivates us to do the good works. The good works alone mean nothing. I do work with the disabled, and it's an honor and it's a privilege. And in the paper that Paul is, I'm sure, using his bedtime reading, I talk about thriving through conflict, that conflict is our friend, that resistance is our ally. And when I, last year at Oak Hill, had the privilege of teaching a workshop to 30 disabled individuals, I taught them, because they all believed in Jesus, I said, you know what, it's time now that we act on our faith. And they felt that they were running into conflicts. And I said, that'll happen in no matter where you are, in a church setting, in your work setting, in your family. But conflict can be viewed in a positive way. And it's amazing, out of those 30 people, only two at the time I started this study were attending a church. Now 22 of those people are. And they're using their gifts to glorify God. And that's not because of what I did. That is because of the faith that they showed and the willingness to go out and do good works because of that faith. The fourth point that Paul shows us is that we need... We need to follow the map God created for our lives. And many of you know this is my life verse, Ephesians 2:10. But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We went from being messed up to masterpieces. And I take incredible comfort in this verse. God knew before I was born what his plan was for my life. He knows the plan for your life. He looks at us as masterpieces. He doesn't look at anything else that we're entangled with. Yes, he wants us to be obedient. Yes, we absolutely need to follow his son. That's not even something we can discuss. That's a foundation. We need to follow Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But in that process, we're still going to have problems, and God is with us. And he points us towards that long-range goal of heaven, and we can claim our citizenship. We can make the choice to follow Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We can make the choice to let people see God's love through our actions. And we can make the choice to glorify God through his masterpieces. I want to challenge all of you this week to take a situation in your life, whether it just caused a little bit of tension or it's something that's really been after you, and think about how you can be Jesus with skin on. It's not going to be easy, and it takes a lot of practice. But when you step out in faith, God is right there with you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you love us to the point that you are willing to let your son die for our sins. Father God, it's heavy on my heart this morning to pray for those who don't know you. You're the one that changes hearts. And I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know your son personally, that they feel comfortable enough to say yes. Father God, for those of us who follow your son, we still make mistakes, and I thank you for your love and your mercy. But let us realize the responsibility that we have to catch the attention of the need of a person and not the offense. That's what you do, Father God, all the time. You look at our needs. Thank you. Be with us. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Please stand.